Flames is a podcast created by best friends and twin flames, Chloe and Hillary, about personal development, shifting the perspective, and becoming your most authentic self. Chloe is a spiritual practitioner, astrologer, and entrepreneur. Hillary is a mindfulness expert, happiness educator, and therapist in training. We combined our strengths and knowledge to bring you the best of what we have found to be helpful to us on our respective journeys.
What is in the water?
Such good things, apparently.
Like, I was looking at my bullet journal tracker, and the last week, I have it set up.
Sorry to cut you off, but your bullet journals are so freaking cute.
Oh, thank you. Oh,
they're amazing.
If you guys want to see them, I have a couple planner videos that I can link down below.
You should see them. You should see them. They're amazing.
But I have this one that's like a year in pixels, which is very popular on Pinterest. It's not an original idea. But it like basically every day you like record your mood. And I do this every night. So it's like part of my like nightly ritual. And the last week I have not had it like a day dip below a really good day. Like they've all been like, I have one, the top tier is best day ever. I had two of those back to back this last week.
I love that. Yes, I totally agree with you. I don't track things like that, though I think it's an amazing idea. And I'd like to get on that, really.
I just want to be able to see at the end of the year, like maybe what months were different. And
of course,
for me, it's all for astrology research, really. I'm like, oh, when I was going through this transit, like that's what was up.
And for me, it's more of like a mental health perspective.
Love that.
Of course.
It's all good.
That's basically just like who we are, right?
Totally.
But I also love a visual representation of something.
Ditto.
Like that's always helpful. But like I haven't been tracking things like that. But oh my gosh, I'm feeling so damn good.
Right?
Things are going so well.
Things are going so well.
What is in the air? What's in the water?
Well, I can tell you this, that we are in Aquarius season now, which Aquarius...
Astrocast, let's go!
Yeah, Astrocast, let's go. I'm into it. we are in Aquarius season now, which when this episode goes out, we'll still be in it, but we'll be close to the exit point, I think. Mm. And basically... Aquarius is ruled by Uranus, which is like all about the big changes. And also, I would say that Aquarius is very humanitarian. They want like change for the world in a good way. And
that
the energy is lighter because it's an air sign. I feel like most air sign energy is a lot lighter. It's more playful. It's more... it's air. It's like wind. Wind is fun sometimes. Unless your hair's did and you got lip gloss on, then it's not fun.
That's so interesting because I know you've told me that I'm an Aquarius moon, right?
Yes, correct.
And then Scorpio is my sun sign.
Yes.
And hearing that Aquarius is lighter and knowing Scorpio is like passion.
Oh my God. Scorpio is like.
That feels right.
It is like some dense shit in a good way.
Right? Oh yeah. No, I do not take offense to that. Interesting. I like it. I like it.
But we also have the Uranus transit going through Taurus. Uranus just went direct. And so this is like, I don't think any energy is overtly like good or bad planetoid wise. It's like how you use it.
Well, good and bad is just a judgment call that we make.
Totally.
Like, things just
are. Totally. But I feel like if you're not really open to change, which we'll talk about next week.
Yeah, we will.
If you're not really open to change and you always want things to stay how they are, like that can be very complicated for people. But if you're somebody who's open to let life just kind of like do what it's gotta and you're just here for the journey, then I think it's very freeing. And it's what a time to be alive.
I literally every day, like hearing that makes so much sense because I'm not even kidding. Literally every day in the past week or two, I've been saying, like, I am so grateful. I love my life. I love the people in my life. I love myself. I love this. I love that. Like, every damn day.
Hillary, I woke up like a Disney princess the other day.
Yes. Like, birds were flying around you.
I mean, I wish.
Little critters helped you get dressed.
It wasn't quite
that. You already
had
makeup on. Your hair was already done.
It wasn't quite on that level yet, but I don't know. It just was so... I did. I woke up, I opened my curtains, and I was like, oh, it's such a beautiful day. What a great day to be, like, aloud, I said these things. Yes. What a day it is to be alive. Like, I was just so happy.
I love it. Okay, so part of me is like, I love this. I just want us to revel in this for forever. And the other part of me is like, hey, everyone listening, like, catch these moments in your life.
Right?
Catch them. Hold on to them. Savor them.
I totally couldn't agree with you more, Hillary.
Ugh, such a good time.
It was.
Such a good time.
It was and is such a freaking fantastic time.
It's a beautiful time to be alive, even amidst all of the, like, chaos and terrible things, because, you know, world still turns, shit still happens, and even with all of that, it's like that yin-yang contrast, right?
Yes.
The darkness is alive, but so is the light.
And I'm also one of those people that, like, for the most part, obviously I have my moments, but for the most part, I'm somebody that, like, is always looking for that silver lining, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like that also plays a major role. Like, you could take two different mindsets about one situation, and one could be so overtly, I say negative, it's a judgment call, I guess. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. One that is overtly more negative and one that is overtly more positive, and they're both valid.
Absolutely.
But I'm just somebody that always is about that silver lining.
Right? And I think there's, like, that fine line between, like, looking for the good and avoiding, you know, whatever else.
Yeah.
Because it's not an avoidance of something bad or hard to acknowledge that there's something good and something to be grateful for. Those are not the same thing.
Actually, eight side stories. There's something that's, I really, like, came in, it's been in my realm for a while, but I feel like I've been talking about it a lot this week for some reason. I think a lot of people are not on the wavelength that we're on, Hillary, because around me, I've been seeing a lot of not that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think, like, that's not even the point I'm trying to get into, but, like, definitely multiple people have come to me and, like, expressed how, like, heavy things feel and dense things feel, and they're in these mindsets of, like, worry and afraid or what have you. And something that I actually brought out was, like, it's not about, because I think a lot of people in, like, the communities that I've built just on my own look to me for a positive force because that's just what I'm into. And I had to express to a few different people that, like, it's not about being, like, toxically positive, because I think there is a level that can get to, like, a, nope, just avoid everything, put the blinders on, and it can be very, like, toxic to be that way.
Yes.
But it's not about being toxically positive. Mm-mm. I would actually say there is this method, and I get this, it's not an original teaching from her. I don't know where the originator is, but there's this teaching that I get from Gabrielle Bernstein, which I can link her book down below that I read. Her book is called Super Attractor, and great book, by the way. Such a lovely, positive read. But she talks about the spiral of, it's like the emotional spiral, and it can go up or it can go down. And she gives, I'll also link, like, an image so you guys can kind of see what I'm talking about. But it's like, basically there's this spiral. It looks kind of like a funnel, like two funnels meeting in the middle. And at the top, there's, like, more positive, or what we have given as, like, positive connotation emotions. And at the bottom, there's more emotions that are more like, you know, pessimism, worry, depressed, apathetic, whatever, you know, they kind of range. But the idea is that you give yourself the power. It's not about going from being depressed to, oh my gosh, everything is amazing all the way at the top of this spectrum. It's about looking at where you are, sitting with that, and saying, you know, what's one better emotion than this that I could choose? And maybe it's going from worry to, I can't even think of a good one. Worry,
I mean,
to,
I like anxiety versus excitement.
Ooh,
they're so similar.
I like that. But I also feel like that could even be a large leap to a degree.
It can. It can.
I'm trying to think of, like, a smaller jump. I'm actually going to pull my own image up just so I can see, so I can give you, like, an example of what I mean. Okay, so going from, like, worry to impatience or impatience to irritation, or irritation to frustration, and just kind of building your way up. Frustration to pessimism, pessimism to boredom. So it's like you make these very small microscopic jumps that like kind of lead into the different emotions. Those were actual ones that I pulled from this image. But
interesting. It's not about changing your experience, is it?
No, it's not about changing your experience. It's allowing yourself at each different choice to feel that emotion to its full capacity. Even if that takes days, weeks, months, or what have you. But always knowing that it is in your full control to choose again when you feel ready.
Oh, I like that as a message for life.
Yeah, it's giving yourself the power to choose again. And that's at every stage. Even if you're going from feeling powerless, you know, and you're trying to make it to feeling empowered, there might be a lot of steps in that. But you hold the power to choose again at every moment.
Oh, I love it.
I probably didn't do that teaching full justice, but it's honestly fantastic. That was great. Thank you.
Yeah. Beautiful.
It's something that I really try to implement in my life when I'm feeling some type of way, even if I'm choosing another emotion that I might think is still on the negative end of the spectrum. It makes me feel better knowing that I feel like it's slightly increased.
Yeah, of course. Well, there's also, and I am just getting started on this book, so I can't really speak to it very much, but I've heard a lot of great things. It's called Power Versus Force.
Oh, yes.
By Dr. Hawkins.
I haven't read it, but you've mentioned it to me before.
Yeah, I've heard such good things. I'm just starting it, just barely. And I think what we're talking about reminded me of it because it feels like it's altering the vibration at which we are. Like, we all vibrate at a different level, you know. There's so much in this. And I could talk for hours to, like, explain exactly what I mean. But as a brief glimpse, like, different ways of feeling and being and living these different, it's like different consciousness levels. And with each of those, there's a different kind of like resonance or vibration. And so it sounds like what you're talking about is moving up the ladder of consciousness levels.
Yes.
Moving up that vibrational frequency.
That's actually exactly what I'm talking about.
Love it.
She talks about specifically in her book about like just changing your vibration in general. And that's like I think for her, that was her trying to break it down in a more like simpler terms, so like it was more, because I feel like sometimes for somebody who's never heard like vibration, energy, like,
of course,
I think for her that was her like breaking it down, but it's totally what you're on the same wavelength.
Wavelength, good choice of word. Good choice of word. Vibration, wavelength. We need to have a whole episode about vibrations and wavelengths and frequencies.
Yes, please.
We're going to do it. It's going to be great. I could talk for like 5 hours about
it. Same energy.
But that's not what we're talking about today.
And what are we talking about today, Hillary?
Today we're talking about candle magic with a K. Yes. Not candle. Magic.
Magic with a K.
That's it.
Yes, absolutely. And
because candle's spelled with a C, not a K.
Yes. Though, you know what? I love the letter K. I'm biased. I'm Chloe with a K.
It's true.
But like, I don't know. Something about that K on the end of magic just looks good.
It does. It's nice.
Makes me feel magical.
Right. So Chloe, why don't you start us out? Help us out. What is candle magic?
So candle magic, like I love the phrase, there's a candle for that. Because, and there are literally t-shirts that like say this out there floating around. I don't own one, but I need to find one.
Super cute.
I've seen some on like other YouTubers that I like watching that are into magical practices. But candle magic, I'm trying to think of a good way to really break it down, but candle magic, it's really about setting, in my opinion, setting some kind of an intention with a candle, or you could do this with any kind of element, really, but we're talking about candle specifically today, but, you know, putting like a thought into a candle and giving it the representation of like, you know, this candle is going to represent, for simplicity's sake, I'm going to go with something that is so common, but say that you're trying to manifest more money or bring more abundance into your life, you would maybe choose to select a green candle because green green, the color of money, at least in the U.S. Maybe it's different mm-hmm. where you are, but gold would also be really nice. Green, the candle of money, and you're just going to say, like, this candle represents my ability to attract more financial abundance into my life. You put that thought and that intention to the candle. And when you light it, as it like lights, you're sending out that energy into the world so that it can come back to you. And mm-hmm. I hope that that was like simple enough.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I think if there's any like gaps that need to be filled in for people, I would suggest the Attract and Manifest That Shit episode.
Oh, yes.
Because absolutely. That's going to talk about like some of the more nuances yes. about some of this.
And what's so fascinating to me, I will get into some like personal how I use candles, what I do with them stuff. But what is so fascinating to me that I really wanted to hit on first is that so many people use candle magic, but they just don't call it that.
Yeah, totally true.
For instance, my number one that I think 99.9% of people do not think about because mm-hmm. they don't even know where the tradition comes from. Mm-hmm. But people that celebrate their birthday and yes. you are presented with a cake, usually with a candle or several candles on it, that is actually a tradition that comes from a magical background.
Oh, interesting.
Because basically, think about that. It's like, oh, make a wish. What is a wish?
Which everyone says, make a wish.
What is a wish? That is literally just an intention. You're setting an intention for something that you want to see manifest in your life. And you are giving that energy to either the universe, higher power, yourself, the world, whatever.
Yes.
And it's what's I think interesting is from a magical perspective, I feel like at least in like modern magical teachings, you could say that it's not like quote unquote accurate now, but who's gatekeeping candle magic? Like, stop doing that.
Whatever.
Because technically, in most people's practice, if you blow out a candle, you're canceling it. You're canceling the wish. You're supposed to let it burn all the way down on its own.
Well, doesn't that also, to me, that feels like if that's your mentality, then yeah, that's true. But
exactly.
I mean, that's not what I do or believe with mine.
It's all how you do it. I could, Hillary, we need to also write down doing an episode on lunar manifesting and the gatekeeping that surrounds that whole thing.
Yes. And I also have like 3 books on intentions that I want to read. And then I want to like really drill down on intentions.
I love that.
I know. I'll share them with you.
So it is definitely, as Hillary was saying, about how like what your belief is behind it as well. But that is a form of candle magic right there. Is just on a birthday cake every year. It comes from a very like pagan or witchcraft root. That is where that practice was picked up from. And I don't have the specific history on it, but I will definitely provide some information down below for that as well.
That's so cool.
If you guys want to like have a good source on that, I will find something.
I love an alternative perspective on something that's super common.
Right?
So good. So good. Open up our minds more, and Chloe.
Something I don't know as much about, but maybe you could help me out a little bit, Hillary, is I know a lot of times in like modern religions, candles are used in, I mean, I grew up Mormon. We never really did the candle thing ever. That's not part of Mormon religion. I'm not Mormon now, just FYI. But I know in like Catholicism.
Yes.
That's I grew up Catholic. I don't know anything about this, so please share.
Yeah. Yeah, I grew up Catholic, and there were always candles in the church. Always. I mean, and they're big candles. Big fucking candles.
Like
I wonder where they get them.
Like, are they like child size? Like, what is the scale here?
They're like, okay, I'm trying to like visualize.
I've only been into a Catholic church like one time.
Like... like this big around, that's what, a 3-inch diameter maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe even bigger. Like they're thick candles. And when I say big, the thickness. And they're tall. They're long as well.
So like 3 foot tall, 4 foot tall? Like what are
could
we talking
be.
About?
Like wow. I'm talking like maybe 2-3 feet.
They're huge.
Like where do they find these? These are incredible, like huge candles. Oftentimes
cool.
they'll
the
have something on them.
On that shit.
And oftentimes they'll have something on them. They'll have like a cross on it very frequently.
Oh my God. And they're that big?
You know what I just realized?
What?
Well, not realized, but remembered. For my, I guess this is part of what I was going to say in my story, but hey, we'll get to that. for my first communion, we had, there were like these little classes or meetings we had to go to first, which was interesting.
Andrew's talked a little bit about that. My husband grew up in a Catholic church as well. He's also no longer practicing, but
I think if it's your thing, that's beautiful, yeah, and 100%. Wonderful. It wasn't really for me. I have my own spirituality, and I think that's also great. So given the person that I am, I thought it was really weird, but I think it was wonderful for so many people.
Yeah,
so
totally.
In those little classes, they gave us a candle to decorate. Snap. And we had to like put little sequins and pins in it and decorate the candle. And generally it was with like a cross or something like that.
Gotcha.
And it's so interesting because, Chloe, doesn't that sound exactly like putting some sort of intention or meaning into a candle?
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what that is.
Literally, yeah. That's something that in candle magic practice, a lot of things that like I do.
Sorry, real quick.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
The candles in church were always also on the altar, which I think is, or up toward the altar, which I think is also important.
Ah, okay.
You know, there's something about the placement of candles.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, sorry, you off. Didn't mean to.
I was just going to say that when working with candle magic now for myself, there's like, if I'm trying to manifest something specific, I'm going to always draw it back to money because I feel like it's a simple thing that a lot of people always try to manifest.
Totally.
But if it's like a certain amount of money, I will carve that into the candle. Like, let's say, for instance, I'm trying to manifest a random $2,000. I will put $2,000 with like a knife or a nail or something. I will carve that into the candle.
Genius.
So it just like, it's all about symbolism and intention. It's all symbolism, yes, and intention. And I think candles, what was the purpose of that in Catholicism? Did you guys have anything that was like a significance that represented the candles?
So this is going to be a very biased blanket statement that I don't think will be true for everyone. Take it with a grain of salt. I don't mean to offend. In my understanding and experience, I don't know that if you ask that question about anything that I could answer it in terms of my experience with Catholicism. Like, if you ask me the reason for certain things, the meaning behind it, a lot of it, at least maybe as a kid, it wasn't like explained. It was just like, this is just what we do.
I also feel, and again, very biased opinions here, but I also feel that a lot of people that I have asked myself in my personal experience that either practice Catholicism now or have in the past, a lot of them have that same answer. They don't really know why certain things are done.
Well, and that was one thing that never felt right. Like, I love having the depth and the symbolism and the meaning behind things. And sometimes I feel like when something's around for a long time, this is not just any given religion. This is anything. I think sometimes it can be, like, traditions can be beautiful, but they can be drained of their meaning and their soulfulness because 100%. We stop thinking about it. We stop talking about it. So, again, I'm sure someone knows, and I'm sure there's something beautiful behind it. I'm sure for some people this is, like, everything for them, and I love
that. And I love that for you. If that's you that we're talking about, I love it for you.
Exactly. Same. I just never got it. So
I was just curious if you did, but no worries that you don't.
Nope. Had no idea.
We didn't do candles in the Mormon church. And I think that was more of like a fire hazard thing. They just like don't do that. Oh. I can't think of a single time in like Mormon history for me when I was practicing that we ever did anything with candles or crosses. Interesting. They don't do crosses either.
Huh, I didn't know that.
Not because they don't believe though in like the whole resurrection death thing. It's something about they don't want to like think about the pain. Like,
oh
yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Right?
Ooh.
I feel like we could dissect this shit all day.
I know we could, but let's not.
Well, let's not. That's for another episode at another time. So there is definitely some candle stuff going on with like Catholicism, and I have Judaism as well.
I don't have any direct
experience, but they have like the menorah, right?
Oh, yes. Duh.
So I'm pretty sure there is like some candle intention. I don't know enough to really speak on that.
Same.
But
although I know they have a beautiful story behind it.
Like, I guarantee
I like what's behind things.
It's I feel gorgeous. Like they actually have like a tradition that is like well known. I just don't know because I'm uncultured.
Oh, no. Like, we all have gaps in our knowledge. It's fine.
And then something that you actually brought to my attention, Hillary, while we were planning for this episode, is that even in pagan culture, when we talk about like the Christmas tree, right, or mm-hmm. the Yuletide tree in this case, something that used to be done was putting candles on trees. Don't do that.
No, fire.
Super
no.
fire hazard. Do not do that. It's what they used to do before they had electricity.
Yes.
And basically what this was, it was a big symbolism for bringing the sun into your home. Because at the time of Yuletide, it is the celebration. I have a whole video on this. Oh my God, you guys, you're going to have so many links down below.
Tons of links.
But I have a whole video that I've done that gives all the history of Yuletide if you want more information on that.
I love that. Teach us everything.
to skim it though and not go like full detail, because you can find that in the video. But basically Yule is celebrated as a time where the darkest part of the year is coming to a close and the sun is going to be returning again. Even though the winter is still dark, it's the halfway, I believe, point through the darkest parts of the year. And so they would light candles and put them on the tree to symbolize, the candle flame symbolized the sun's return. So I just got goosebumps.
I love the symbolism and the metaphor.
So there's just so much symbolism in terms of candle magic. You could even say that this in general was a magical practice to set the intention for that return of the sun, because at that time in history, I don't think we had all of the scientific background to be like, oh, we know it's going to come and rise again, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, so there was definitely this like intention of faith around it as well, and honoring that, you know. So yeah, that's just, I guess that was just kind of a brief little step through of different ways that I think there are so many more that we probably have not even begin to have thought about or know about.
Yeah.
But through the experiences that we have or knowledge that we have, that's like a lot of just different ways that candle magic has been used or is currently being used.
I love it. So good.
Now, for myself, the two different ways that I like to use candles, this is kind of like a manifesting tip from Chloe. I have a couple ways that I like to use candles. Now, number one, I'm going to be real basic for a moment and say I also just light candles with zero intention because I like the way that they smell sometimes.
Yeah. Or like the look of them.
Or the look of them. It's just a nice little cozy feeling, you know. Mm-hmm. Not every single little thing I do is like, oh no, this has a specific intention, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I just light a good candle because I want to smell the air, right?
Yeah. Well, and also that goes back to one of our previous episodes on, you know, why so serious?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. So sometimes it's not just like big serious hoopla, but in terms of lighting candles, the first way that I tend to light them, actually, I'm going to give you three. So the first way that I would say I light them the most often when there's an intention behind them is to honor, you could say, the universe in a way. I also do believe that I have spirit guides around me and I do talk to them a lot, or to honor like a specific deity if that is your thing. That is one way that I will do that. I'll go to my altar space in the morning, which I do have in my house, and I, not every morning, but I would say most mornings, and whatever kind of intention I have set for my day, like maybe I'll say today I want to experience productivity. And then if there's a deity, or which for me, I don't have a deity that I honor for productivity, but just to kind of give something back, give some energy back to the universe, I will light maybe a candle that I feel would correspond to that. So for me, productivity would be like orange or maybe even yellow colored candles. And I'll just light one of those on my altar, say thank you, and go about my day. Maybe let it burn maybe all day sometimes if it's a big candle. I have like the 7-day candles. You can get those for $1 at most places.
Absolutely.
Sometimes I'll burn it all day, sometimes for a couple of hours. It just depends. And that's one way that I think that's probably the most often way that I use a candle with intention.
two things that I love about what you just said. One is like this energetic exchange.
Yes.
I give this energy, I receive this energy. Yes. Love that. And the other is you said, I want to experience productivity, not I want to be productive.
Yes.
Oh, it's about the process and the experience, not like I want to be in this state.
That's actually love something it. That I think in terms of manifestation, which again, we do have an episode on that. Mm-hmm. In terms of manifestation, that's something about me that I've really changed. Instead of just saying like, I want, I will mm-hmm. say instead, I wish to experience, or I would like to experience.
I love that.
Because as you said, Hillary, it's so much about the experience. It's not just having said thing or whatever.
Oh, love it.
So that's one way. Another way is, these ones kind of go in tandem together, the other two, is before I do one of the ways, which we'll get to, I first, a lot of times, will do something that is called casting a circle or calling the corners. Mm-hmm. And you can do this whether you are into witchcraft or you are not. I think it's such a great, I think we've actually talked about it in a past episode. I couldn't say which one, though. I'm not sure.
It's a great way to set the space.
It might have been in our meditation episode, Hillary, that we've discussed
maybe.
It. But basically, I have candles that correspond to the different directions of the earth, mm-hmm. northeast, southwest, and also the different elements, which earth, air, fire, water. Mm-hmm. And before I am going to get into a manifesting state or a magical practicing state, when I'm like really getting down and like doing something that I feel like is very, serious, I guess. Yeah, I would say that when I call the corners, like, it doesn't have to be serious, but for the most part, for me, when I'm doing something that is very serious, I will call the corners in. Mm-hmm. And I will do that by lighting a different candle for each direction and element. So not 8 candles, 4 candles. And each candle, so for example, to the north, earth corresponds to the north as well. And to the east is for air. So, like, each of them have a correspondence, and I will call in the corners, ask for their protection while I'm doing whatever I'm doing. And I don't dabble in, like, I hesitate to even say black magic, because I also think that magic, same way that we've kind of been discussing, it's all objective, and it's what you make it. Like, black and white magic don't really exist.
Yeah, super subjective.
It's all subjective. It's not that I'm doing something that's so highly dangerous. I just feel like when you are a plethora or a fountain of like positive intentional energy, I do believe personally for myself that sometimes negative experiences or things can latch on to that. And so for me, when I call in the corners and I'm doing something very intentional and serious, I use that as a protection barrier for myself. So I'm being safe. I'm safe in the space that I'm in. And it also just, trust me on this one, it really changes the tone of the atmosphere.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's partly a mindset shift. Yes. And also, like, in doing research for my thesis, part of it is on active imagination. And there's one thing that came up that I thought was such a good point, about how if we're going to go into an altered state of consciousness, which, by the way, meditation is an altered state of consciousness.
Oh, absolutely.
Some people use some psychedelics or other substances for spiritual journeys. That's an altered state of consciousness. But it doesn't have to be with, like, a thing. Like, just sitting and, for instance, praying is an altered state of consciousness.
Totally.
So doing this intention setting to do something to ritualize that state and to put yourself in the mentality of, this is like a safe, sacred space. Yes. And now I'm going to step into the work of it. That can be so helpful just to separate it from everyday life and get your mind and your body ready for that experience.
Hillary, I love that you just put that in there. You like gave words to what I was trying to explain, but so like, you just gave me new words to actually explain what I do. Thank you.
Yay.
I appreciate that. That's like, I felt like I was reaching real hard.
Well, sometimes we talk about things that to like a scientific or psychological mind, these questions may come up about like, oh, but is it real? What's the validity?
Totally.
There is validity to it. You just have to look at it a certain way.
Yes.
Because it's not so like cut and dry, black and white.
Totally.
There's nuances.
Totally. Like, and even as I was saying, though, I believe, like, for me, there are things that I'm protecting myself from. Some of you guys may not have that mentality, as Hillary was saying. And so even looking at it from the psychological perspective, like, it's still valid.
Yeah.
So that is another way that I will kind of use that. It's more of a protective bubble type thing for me. And another way that I will do that. So once in this like space, right, I have been doing something called intention jars, where basically any intention that I am or manifestation or something I'm trying to bring into my reality, whatever it might be. Again, for this instance, I'm going to use money because it's easy. Let's say I'm trying to bring in $2,000, which interestingly enough, that is not one of my current manifestations. I'm not trying to bring in $2,000, even though I've talked about it a lot. I think it's easy for me because that is something that I have done and it's actually worked before with that specific amount of money.
Love it.
So that's why I think I rely so heavily on it. But
I got to try this. I got student loans, man. I got to try this.
Do it. But I do something called an intention jar. And basically, for me in my practice, and I do use candles alongside this, is I will get into this space. And something that is very important, if you are trying to follow along with me on this, like to do this for yourself, something that's very important for me, for you it may be different, for me, is that before I even make this like safe space for myself to work in, I like to have all of the tools that I'm going to use with me.
Yeah.
So you're not like removing yourself from the space, you're staying in this like, because as Hillary even said, you're going into like an altered state of consciousness. And so leaving that could be very jarring and then you have to kind of like get back into it. So
totally.
I like to have all of my tools with me. And basically what I'll do is I will pick out different crystals, different herbs that I might be working with, which we could do a whole episode probably on magical herbs that I would, we should do that. That'd be a good one.
Yeah. Herbs and crystals. Yes.
So I'll pick out certain crystals, certain herbs, usually a candle of a specific color that corresponds, which I will put a candle guide linked down below for you guys if you are looking to do this and manifest something. But I'll pick a candle of a certain color out. And usually I always have a piece of paper with me and a pen, and sometimes like sage or incense or something to like cleanse the space too. But basically what I'll do is I'll give each thing a very symbolic meaning for this jar. Also, there's a jar. It's an intention jar. You gotta have a jar. So I will give everything a specific meaning, whether it's something that I have given meaning to myself or it's something that I've learned along my practice. And I will kind of give it that intention. Like, let's say I'm working with cinnamon. Cinnamon is really great for attracting money and also bringing things in quickly because it corresponds to the element of fire, which is a very fast energy. So, and that's a very common, lots of people have cinnamon in their house.
Something feels right about that.
Right? It's very fiery.
Yeah.
So let's say for this instance, I'm using cinnamon to bring in this money. So I would take that cinnamon in my hand, whether it's whole or ground, it doesn't matter. And I would maybe put both my hands like together, like kind of cup over it. And, you know, maybe I'm envisioning that this money's coming to me. Maybe I'm envisioning fire energy specifically. And then I would just put that into the jar, and I kind of do that with every little piece that I put in there. So I'll usually use 4 or 5 different herbs. You don't have to. This is all up to your own personal whatever you want to do with it. I'll use like 4 or 5 different herbs because I have a lot in my repertoire to use, all for different things but slightly similar. And then I will pull out that sheet of paper, whatever this intention is that I'm trying to bring in. I will write it out in present tense. So,
yes,
you know, this is like a really good time to bring in an affirmation or like, how could you phrase that, Hillary? If you're trying to bring in $2,000, how could I present tense that? I guess I would say thank you. Like, it would be a very like, thank you, universe, for providing $2,000 or, you know, whatever. It could go so much deeper than that. You could be so much more poetic. It's however you feel about it, though. It can also be very simple.
Of course.
And then I will fold that paper up when I feel like I'm done. Sometimes I'll write a lot. Sometimes I'll write a little. Mm-hmm. And I'll fold that up 3 times. Each time you do a quarter turn and actually fold the paper towards you to, again, bring that intention of bringing that energy towards you. And I'll put that in the jar as well. And then where the candle comes in, for this in particular, I get pretty, like, I do a lot of steps with the candle because I really do believe in the power of working with any kind of fire energy because it's usually a fast-paced thing. So I will take my time with the candle as well. I will, like, carve into it, as we've talked about, put, like, the $2,000 in there. Or maybe there's something I want to buy with this said $2,000. Like, maybe I want to buy a laptop. So I would put laptop on the candle as well. You know, whatever you're trying to bring in. And then I will actually anoint the candle with oil. And I have a bunch of, like, specific oils because I partner with Witch's Moon a lot and they send me oils every month. So I have a ton, but olive oil, cooking oil, totally fine. And there's a lot of different uses for that as well. Different kinds of oils do different things, kind of like with the herbs. And then a lot of times I'll roll the candle in the herbs too, because you can do that too. And then I will put the candle inside the jar with the lid off, obviously. Otherwise, you're going to just smother it. And you can actually, pro tip, if you're unfamiliar, if you have just like a singular like chime candle, I believe is what they're called, to make them stay, you just melt the bottom of the candle a little bit until the wax starts to drip and then stick it down immediately. It hardens almost on contact and the candle will stay.
It works really well. You just got to do it
so
quick.
So well. So also, you know, if you're like underage, please, 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 please have a parent assist you or just like don't play with fire.
Yeah, don't play with fire.
We don't
it's
want
dangerous.
Parents contacting us being like, my child listened to your podcast and burned down our house. Okay.
No. Also, we cuss a lot and talk about
so, like,
other
maybe
things.
You
so, you know,
shouldn't like, anywho.
Parent discretion is advised.
So I put the candle down and then I will light that, maybe speaking the affirmations out loud, whatever it might be. And then you just, sometimes I'll do a meditation, a visualization meditation, just staring into the flame or with my eyes closed. And the idea is that you let that candle burn all the way down. But again, your steps might be different. I let it burn all the way down until it burns out on its own. Sometimes it catches stuff in the jar on fire. Sometimes it doesn't. It doesn't really matter otherwise. And then I close it up and you can like leave it out on your desk or like keep it close to you. But I personally like to give it back to the earth. So I actually bury my stuff. Like if somebody ever went through my planter boxes, they're just like full of magic. I usually always have like one going through every lunar cycle. So I like put it into usually just one of my like flower boxes. I give it back to the earth. And usually at the end of like a lunar cycle, I'll take it out, take my petition, which is what the paper is called. And if it's not burned to a crisp, I'll take that back out and hold on to it, put it in my book of shadows, whatever. And then if there's any herbs or things, I will dump that just into the earth, let that stay. And anything that's like not, like maybe I want the crystal back, I'll take that back. I usually don't leave that in the dirt.
No.
But yeah, that's just, and then like I close my circle, what have you. But yeah, that's like one way that I would say on a monthly basis, pretty routinely, I use candle magic. And I have seen, I want to say during December, I did one and the specific thing I asked for was stability in my finances. And I shit you not, I haven't been as stable as I am now in the better part of a year. So
that's amazing. I love that.
So that was a very long-winded explanation, but I really wanted to, like, if somebody wanted to do that, I wanted you to be able to, like, at least have an idea of what you'd be looking to do, you know? But
definitely, I want to try it.
For me, it's worked super well, and I eventually would like to craft a video on it to, like, show people. And if I ever do, I will specifically come back to this episode and put it down below. But at this time, it's really hard to record videos on magical practices that I do because I'm in that altered state of consciousness. And so if I was going to make a video, I would almost have to like stage it.
Yeah, definitely.
But that's what I got. That's how I do the whole candle magic stuff. What about, actually, before we get to Hillary, let's hear a word from our sponsors.
Okay, so I by no means have as much experience as Chloe. I love that we do this because Chloe always have like such great ideas and it's so well organized and it's so like beautiful and well-rounded. And then I jump in and I'm like super vague and conceptual and I think somehow it works, you know? But it's going to be so different from what you just heard.
We make this beautifully weaved like blanket. It's great. Aww, I love it.
I love it.
Oh, we're a blanket, bitch.
Yeah, like a little quilt or something.
Snuggly.
As I was talking about before, I did grow up Catholic, and I talked a little bit about candles in my experience in Catholicism. Funny thing, I actually still have that candle I was talking about from my first communion. Yeah, it's never been lit.
Wow.
I know. I know.
I feel like something if you ever decide to right light it. I was going to say, if you ever did decide to light it, I feel like you should do it for something like real powerful.
Exactly. Because it just, something doesn't feel right about lighting it. And I always go with what I feel.
Yeah,
you know, like if I'm pulled towards something, okay, then I'm going to go with it. I mean, within reason. Like, you know, we got to always watch that a little bit. So that was probably... Yeah, that aside from like birthdays, that was probably my first experience really with like candles and this type of work. But it was never put in those terms at all. It was just like, oh, we're making this candle so you can have it for your first communion.
Totally.
You know, that was really like the whole thing.
I mean, I feel now like even as kids, we recently talked about that, how we did like candle dipping in school. Like,
oh, yes, I wanted to mention that.
There was no like intention necessarily behind it. We were just making some candles. Like,
exactly.
I mean, and I guess to light your house. Like, I don't know.
And we did. We went, I think it was an apple farm. I think.
I wouldn't be surprised because we had one that was like kind of close to our hometown.
Yeah.
That... Like, they had all kinds of cool stuff there. Yeah.
Oh my god! And their apple cider was the best.
I was just like, gonna say that. Oh, that like, it was remember so they good. Like crushed the apples on site and they would let us
fresh
do it.
Pressed. Oh my so god, that was so good. I want to go back anyway.
Yes, that would be so fun, Hillary. Oh my god.
Oh my god, let's do it. We can do that.
Let's like, do it.
We can do it. So we did. We made candles when we were kids, and. We'll get to this a little bit later, but it's super simple. It's just like the wick, and then you dip it in wax, and then you dip it, and you dip it, and you dip it, and you dip it, and you keep doing that.
You just take like the wick, and you just keep dipping it.
Yeah. And as a kid, you're like, when the hell is it done?
I don't even know how many dips that takes, but I guarantee you it's a shitload.
It was a lot. Now, as an adult, if I did that, how cool would it be?
Oh, I'd probably love it.
Yeah. And to dip it and like with every dip, set the intention, right?
Hillary,
with every dip.
I bet you that's really easy. Like, not like it takes time, totally. But I bet you that's really easy to set up.
Oh, for sure.
Making dip candles.
For sure. You just need hot wax and a wick. That's totally. Like it, you know? So, and we'll get to that later. But those were probably my earliest experiences with candles. There is something just lovely about a candle, about that soft light, the atmosphere of it. And I think another time that comes to mind, so I studied abroad in Denmark for 4 months. And while I was there, my class took a trip to Italy. And there's all
Florence,
of these, like,
right?
So we went to Milan, and then separately, me and a couple classmates went to Florence and Rome.
Wow. I didn't get
incredible.
To go to Rome when I was there, and I kind of wish I'd done Rome instead of Florence.
I mean, honestly, both are great. They're just different. Very different.
In my defense, I didn't really get to experience Florence to its height that I would have wanted to. Based on the company that I was with, it was just a different experience. And if I did it again,
sense.
I think it would be better.
It was incredible. So when I was in Italy, they have all of these incredibly gorgeous cathedrals. And at that time, I didn't consider myself religious or spiritual. Now I certainly do consider myself spiritual. But back then I just didn't have the wherewithal to put it into those words.
Right.
And yet we would go into these cathedrals and I would be just struck. Not all of them, but in a few of them, just struck with this like sense of awe and wonder and reverence and like, wow, this is important. There's something about this. And one thing that stands out in my mind, I think the most sacred it ever felt, there were two cathedrals that I went into, and there was the opportunity to light a candle. This is a thing in the Catholic Church often where you light a candle for a loved one who has passed or for someone who has died. And so they have like this area of just like candles set up, and you go up and you light a candle. Sometimes you give a donation, but it's just in honor and memory of those who have passed.
That's so cool.
It's beautiful. And I did that while I was in those cathedrals. Two that really spoke to me. I felt like this is the place to light those candles.
Yeah.
And it felt so... I have no other word other than sacred to just stand there, remember, for me it was my grandma, and light a candle, and then with every motion of putting the candle down or of lighting the candle, having that intention and thought of honoring my grandma and setting that up there. There was something so incredible just about doing that. It's a simple act, but it felt huge. And that kind of opened me up to like, oh, like this is something, you know, because I don't think I thought much about candles before that.
Yeah.
I really don't. Now, fast forward a little bit, and Chloe, I think you were the one who got me into, I guess, candle magic, really.
Aww.
And so I started getting these colorful candles, and often, now, you can get candles anywhere. They do not have to be pricey. They don't have to be a certain kind. Like, it can be anything.
Hillary, this is how I know we're on the same wavelength. You are the only person that has ever visited my home, seen how I do a morning practice, and we're just so, like, openly curious and in a very non-judgmental way. I could never see you being judgmental about it. But, like, loved it so much you wanted to take it upon yourself.
Yes, and no one else. I did.
Like,
I
other people
it.
Have been curious, but it's never been, like, on that level.
No, it just that for me it's the experience. When something feels right, you go with it.
Yeah.
Again, there's some limits, right?
Yes.
But I did. I started getting, like, one thing that I do as a little treat to myself, one thing that I indulge on every once in a while is I'll go to a little metaphysical shop or somewhere that has these, and they sell candles that have been imbued with intentions.
Yes.
They sell them that have been made with essential oils. They sell some that just have the color, and then there's a label on it that says what it is best to be used for.
Totes.
And so I have a few of them, like, on my altar right now. I have some of the, what are they called? The chime candles, is that it?
They're, like, the chime candles are the little tiny ones. Like,
yeah, the small ones.
Yeah.
So I have a few of those. And then I also have, I have an orange 7-day candle that is super low because I use that for confidence, which, who doesn't need that?
Dude, where I buy mine, they've stopped selling the orange. I haven't gotten an orange candle in, like, over a year because I just can't find them anywhere.
I will get you an orange candle. That's ridiculous. I also have a blue candle. Calm, serenity, peace.
We love a good blue candle.
And I have a red candle. Now, all of those three are 7-day candles. And the red, for me, is like that fire energy, that like productivity, that movement. Sometimes passion and love, too.
Yeah, totally. Did you know, Hillary, that they make for passion and love? Like, you can use a red candle, too. Did you know they make, like, straight-up penis candles?
What?
Yeah. Like, mostly for, like, attracting, like, that kind of big dick energy, I guess you could say. But, yeah, they totally make, like, penis-shaped candles. They got ridges and veins and everything.
Like, oh, my God. It's, like, very serious.
I want one just to, like, set it out.
That's amazing. This is why kids shouldn't listen to this podcast.
We have it listed as explicit. They should all know better. I'm just saying.
It's true. We warned you.
Yeah. It's not our fault. Oh,
and you know what? I actually currently have two other candles on my altar that were imbued with essential oils and intentions, and they're based on different chakras. You can find these. That's cool. One is for abundance, and one is for protection.
I love that.
And, like, there was something, when I gravitate towards something, that's how I choose it, and that's how I picked those, is I was like, something feels right about these.
We also have a whole episode on chakras if you want to know more.
Hell yeah. And so I have all of those. I use them when it feels right. And what I do personally is, so if I'm doing some sort of meditation, visualization, or ritual for myself, I'll often set the candles around me in a circle, and then I'll place my crystals around me as well. Just to, again, like Chloe was saying with casting a circle, it's really for me just to set the space. It's just, I'm shifting my mindset, I'm altering my consciousness, this is a safe space, it is a circle created with intention, and now I can go into the work that I want to do.
Yes.
And some days, I won't be doing that, but I'll grab a candle, and as I light it, first I hold the candle, and I, either aloud or to myself, I say what I'm wanting to gain from it. What energy do I want to carry with me? That's often the phrasing that I use. And so it will be something like, you know, help me to have the level of productivity that I want and need for the day. Something like that. Help to keep me calm and grounded as I move through the day. Stuff like that. I'm often using the word help. You know, like,
yeah.
I just need a little assistance here.
Totally.
And then, so I hold it. I think about that. I feel what that would feel like. I set the candle down and I light it while still remembering what it is that I'm intending. Then I'll let it burn and I'll go about what I'm doing. And when it feels right, before I blow the candle out, I'll hold it and I will say, may I carry this energy with me throughout the day, even after the candle has gone out.
Oh, I love that.
And that's how I end it. And I also, I'm big on gratitude, which I'm sure we'll talk about sometime soon.
Oh, I forgot to mention that.
I'm so excited. And so I always end it with, thank you. You know, thank you for bringing this to me. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for being here. And then I blow out the candle. And when it feels right, I put it back on my altar. Yes. And that's really the extent of my work, most often. But there's something that feels so good about it. Like, if I have a lot of schoolwork to do, I will grab that red candle, I'll put my intention in it, I'll light it, and I'll sit there and just go. And then if I'm feeling anxious, I'll grab the blue candle, bring it over.
Honestly, I would say for me, I used to work, like, my office space used to be where my altar is, like, in that room. And I feel like I don't do that as much as I used to because we're not in the same room. I need to change this.
I love how we give each other ideas because I want to try what you had said.
Well, I used to light them almost every day, like whatever intention I wanted to experience that day. And ever since I've moved into like a separate room for my office from the living space, like I just haven't been as into it. I think because it's not there, like out of sight, out of mind.
Totally. So. There's something about the convenience factor too, for sure. But really, as simplistic as it may be, and that is not a knock on my process, I like simplicity. That's really all I got. That's what I do, and I find that it's very helpful. There's something, if nothing else, I find it helpful to put an intention in something that is a physical representation of my intention. That way I can see it. Yes. I can know that there's a thing. And there's just something about that process,
and I mean, if nothing else. That, but like, not only do have we as a people been doing that since like the dawn of the age of people, but like I can't think of a single religious practice or like spiritual practitioner or any, like there is not a single one that doesn't do something with this ideology of symbolism or like bringing something into the physical in that way.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think to me, that's a lot of the importance.
Yes.
It's the symbolism, the metaphor, the intention. It's something, it's almost like, for me, it feels like the energy is inside of me. And through this process, I'm taking the energy and putting it in this physical thing. So then I can see it, I can feel it, I know it's there, but it doesn't feel like it's trapped in me. It's out in the world now, and I can focus on it more easily than it just like swarming around inside me.
Totally.
So really, that's all I got. Yeah,
that's all we got. We do have simple homework for you.
Super simple.
If you are able and so choose. Now, I want to remind you, you do not have to go out and find like a metaphysical store, buy a bougie ass candle. Like,
no.
If you can and you want to, that's lovely. Do it.
Absolutely.
But you probably, most people have a tea light hanging around their house, or you already have a candle, baby, from like, you can use Bath and Body Works candles. It doesn't matter. Totally. Like, whatever you got.
I also love that if you go to the 99-cent store, which, by the way, never knock the 99-cent store. It's amazing.
It really is.
So good. Go to the 99-cent store. They always, always, always have 7-day candles.
Yes.
Always.
Always.
And white is a great color that's always available, and it's a blank slate.
Yes, it is the one that you can use for anything. Like, it's because isn't white the absence of color, Hillary? Like, in terms of color therapy?
I always forget.
I think it's the absence of color, and black is like all the colors.
I think so. And I don't know. I'd have to look it up, but I think so.
But anyways, white, as Hillary was saying, can stand in for any color. It doesn't matter.
They also generally have red, and I find they do have 7-day candles with saints on them, too.
Yes, if you're into that.
Yeah, so options.
But if you are able or, you know, want to, we would encourage you for homework to get a candle, no matter what kind. It doesn't matter if it's already been previously lit. I would say try to get one that hasn't, but if you don't have access, like, one that's already been lit is fine.
Yeah.
And just set some kind of an intention with it and light it. See how it makes you feel. Try something different. Try.
And it can be super simple, too. It can be like, I want to be calm right now.
Yeah. And that could totally
it doesn't
be
have
it.
To be something huge, you know?
Something that we totally didn't talk about in this episode that I would love to maybe do a part two on at some point is actually like reading the flame of a candle, because that's like a totally other thing that Hillary, I don't even think I've talked to you about that.
No,
how you
I'd
can
love
like
to hear it.
Read the flames of candles, and like it's like a way
we need to chat.
Yeah, it's like a way to tell like how your intention is going, etc. So yeah, maybe we'll do a part two if you guys really like this. We'll know by the rate at which it's listened to. We'll see if you guys want a part two. So share it, please, with your friends, everyone.
And also keep in mind, if you feel called to do so, you can always attempt to make your own candles. So honestly, it's a quick Google search. There's so many different ways. We would like to encourage you, if you take this route, to use vegan or cruelty-free products just for the benefit of, you know, the world, the animals, everything.
Please.
But you can do dip candles, you can use glass jars. Honestly, a quick Google search and you will find so many options.
Totally. Ugh, I loved this. This was such a fun episode.
Yeah.
So I think that's all we got for you guys today. Please check out the description. There are going to be like a million links down there.
So many links.
I'm also going to link a video from the Witch of Wanderlust down there where she covers, and she may even talk a little bit about flame reading. She covers candle magic over this like 40-minute video, and it's so good and information packed. So if you're interested, I will link that down below too. And I'll talk to you guys next Monday.
Yeah, bye.
Bye, guys. If you love what you heard today, please come and follow us on our social media platforms. We are at Twin Flames Pod on both Instagram and Twitter. Use the hashtag AuthenticityWarrior to connect and share your authentic path with us. If you'd like to support us on our mission to spread authenticity to the collective, consider becoming a contributor on our main hub, Anchor. Anchor provides the ability not only to give feedback to the podcast, but you can also send in voice recorded questions that we are able to insert and answer on the show. Link in the show notes below. Another way to support us is by leaving a review. It really helps us to be seen and recommended more. If you do decide to review us, no matter the rating, screenshot it and send it to our email for a free guided meditation created by Hillary. More info on that below. And lastly, have a question, comment, or a concern? Send us an email. We'll do our best to reach back to you. Have a fantastic week, and remember, when you stand tall in your authenticity, you give others the assurance to do the same. We'll talk to you again next Monday.